The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made. Amen. Good morning. Blessed Advent and Happy New Year, Grace. Now wake up, because the end is near. I've literally been waiting all week for that moment. Wake up! It is the first day of our Advent season, and thus the first day of our new year, and so here we are today with an apocalyptic reading from Luke. Oh, the irony. Happy New Year, the end is near. Yay! And yet, this should not surprise us, because the second coming of Christ at the end of the world is one of the prominent themes of Advent every year. The first Sunday of Advent is the church's New Year day, and here at the beginning, we always pause to consider the end. I love Episcopalians. And yet this year, I mean really, feels a little redundant, a little extra, a little unnecessary, given what we as people and as a world have been through for the past 2 years. A pause to reflect on the end times. I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like I have paused a lot to consider the end times recently. In fact, I feel a bit like I've been living in an apocalyptic reality in which I could use a break to pause and reflect on new beginnings, hope, peace, love, justice. How about some of that, Luke? So I was actually really grateful at Bible study on Monday when we were reading this scripture, when Rusty said, I want to tell a story. Because when Rusty says, I want to tell a story, you pause, because Rusty can be a man of few words, so when he speaks, you listen. The group gathered, all muted our apocalyptic Zoom microphones, and sat back and listened to Rusty. He began saying, I was driving down the road the other day and was at an intersection of two major roads. At the intersection was a beggar, and in front of me was a very nice car, a fancy new BMW. The beggar was standing there with his sign, and the BMW rolled to a stop at the intersection where the beggar stood. All of that, Rusty said, is such a typical Asheville moment, one hardly notices it anymore. But what happened next, Rusty said, was so unusual that it caused him to wake up right there in the midst of traffic. The woman driving the BMW stopped her car, got out of her car, causing all of the other cars to have to remain stopped as well, even though the light had changed to green. The driver got out of her car, she popped her trunk, got out a pre-made bag of needed items for folks who live outdoors, and she handed it to the beggar. But it was what happened next that caused Rusty to pause and reflect. She walked over to the beggar, gave him the bag full of needed items, and then she opened her arms and embraced him right there on the side of the road, stopping traffic and all to hug this human being who was begging for what he needed at the intersection of two busy roads. Rusty just stopped the story there and said, I mean, have you ever? She just hugged him right there and then, stopping traffic and everything. She got back in her car and drove away, and Rusty paused and reflected. Now, when I first heard Rusty's story, to be honest, my initial thought was, aw, that's sweet or kind or thoughtful, but what the heck does that have to do with anything we are reading today? What does that have to do with this apocalyptic reading Luke is giving us on this first day of Advent? But of course, Rusty being Rusty, just paused and it began to sink in. It began to become clear what this sweet, hopeful story, this vision Rusty shared, had to tell us about Advent and our call as Christians. The passage in Luke we read today falls into the category of apocalyptic literature. And this sort of writing is found throughout the Hebrew Bible, particularly in the books of Daniel, Joel, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. Apocalyptic literature from the prophets. We have come to understand the word apocalyptic to mean the complete destruction of the world. When we hear this word, we often think of zombies or mummies or vampires, horror movies or Netflix series or, you know, a life-threatening pandemic that goes on for years and years, something like that. But apocalyptic visions are actually unveilings, revelations of things that at first sight one might not be able to recognize. Visions of life as it might be, and the revelation of how we are called to live in it. Apocalyptic visions often point us to a deeper reality, a reality that dwells eternally beneath the surface of appearances. Apocalyptic literature and movies that make the big bucks are often centered around fear, the fear of what lies beneath the surface of appearances, the thing we cannot see or that we do not know yet, but yet we should fear. Fear, it motivates humans. Fear can create movements, and fear makes money. And many people in the church, many preachers and teachers of Christian theology have also used fear to motivate and to create movements and to make money. Apocalyptic literature in the Bible, the pointing to the end times, the destruction of this world, has been used to make us afraid, to create a sense of fear and urgency, that is for sure. And that fear and urgency has in turn caused much destruction to individuals and whole communities. But does fear make us ready? Does fear prepare us for the end? Fear not, the angel says to Mary, fear not. I have heard it said that the phrase fear not shows up in our scripture 365 times. Now, I have not counted for myself, so I can't be sure, but for sure, 365 sounds really good. Because I could handle hearing fear not every day of the year. So 365 more or less, we know that fear not is a central theme in our scripture. So why then, as Christians, do we hear the apocalyptic literature in our story and then feel fear? Why would anyone use God's promise to return to us as a threatening motivator that encourages us to fear? And what exactly are we afraid of? Luke says, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Be on guard and stay awake, so that that day may not catch you unexpectedly and trap you. Thanks, Luke. Thank you, Jesus, because that is it. It is not the end times we are afraid of. It's not being ready for them when the day comes that terrifies us. And this is when Rusty's story hit me like a Mack truck, or a BMW as one would have it. What went beyond simple, trite sweetness or even generous kindness in this story was the absolute preparedness that this woman in her car at the intersection of two busy roads modeled for all of the traffic that she stopped in the streets. Yeah, she was kind. Yeah, she was sweet. But more profoundly, she was prepared. Prepared with the practical necessities of life to offer a person in need, yes, but more deeply prepared. She feared not. She was prepared with the love and embrace that every human deserves. You see, the beggar in our culture has been made into the real-life, everyday zombie, the mummy or the vampire that we should all fear. And if throughout this sermon you have found yourself feeling uncomfortable when you heard me use the term beggar, let me be clear. While we may change our language and say things that are politically correct, like person experiencing homelessness, using those terms doesn't erase our fear. And deep down, we fear the beggar, because the beggar has become that symbol for each of us of what lurks under the surface of appearances, under the surface of our comfortable reality. The beggar is a sign to us that with one mistake, one economic failure, an unforeseen illness, a job loss, a market crash, that beggar could be us. We could become the real-life zombie cast into the outer darkness, begging on the intersection of the busy crossroads of life. The beggar in our world has become an apocalyptic vision, pointing to the end times of our daily comfort and security. And we have been taught to fear them. That fear often leads us to avoidance, to avoid the unexpected zombie beggar's gaze, lest we get trapped in it, lest we become it. Be on guard, says Luke. Do not let drunkenness or the worries of this life weigh you down, lest you find yourselves unprepared, for the day is coming. Yes, be on guard. To be on guard is to be prepared. An Advent is a time of preparation, a time of preparation to meet Christ, a king, in the form of a brown-skinned poor baby born in Palestine, unexpected indeed. The woman in the BMW, she was prepared, she was on guard, but not with fear. She was on guard and prepared to love. She was prepared to see this beggar not as a real-life zombie, but as Jesus, born before her, asking to be loved. This unnamed woman in our real-life story was prepared with both the practical and the spiritual necessities to be a Christian at the busy intersections of our world today, here on earth. She was prepared to see below the surface of things without fear, but with great love. And Rusty was prepared to witness it and to share it. As Reverend Kate Anthony recently posted, this apocalyptic vision that can at times permeate all things, he was prepared to see the eternal life that occasionally breaks through and gives rise in this world to sacrificial love. This deeper life is where our true life is hidden with Christ and God, as St. Paul says. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, we are praying that this deeper, eternal life might become a more present, tangible reality in this temporal world. That we may come, Christmastide, be those that offer this gift to the world, even a small gift of sacrificial love. As we move into Advent, this time of deep preparation, let us consider how we too can pack our trunk with practical gifts to meet the needs of those around us. But let us also be on guard, not be weighed down by the worries of life, so that we are trapped by fear and are unprepared spiritually and thus miss Jesus standing at the intersections of our world, just waiting to be loved. This season can offer many opportunities for drunkenness and worries, that is for sure. And yet our scripture proclaims a vision and a revelation. It says, when we see the horrors of this world, that when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Indeed, brothers and sisters, our redemption is drawing near. In 4 short weeks, we will celebrate the coming of a new king, a vision of the end times of oppression, and a vision of a king of peace, born as a poor, brown-skinned baby in Palestine. And as we pause and reflect this Advent season, our work is to practice seeing Jesus as that baby, yes, but also in every person we meet at the intersections of our busy life. Because if we don't recognize Jesus there, how will we ever recognize him when he comes again? This deserves repeating. If we don't recognize Jesus there, how will we ever recognize Jesus when he comes again? And he will come again. Jesus will show up for us every day. The Advent question for us is how? How do we learn to recognize Jesus? How do we let go of fear and open ourselves to great love, so that we can truly meet him when he shows himself to us today and at the last? So pack your Advent bags with food. Pack your trunk with needed items. Serve food to those who are hungry, and prepare spiritually to open your hearts to love. Step out of your cars and stop all the traffic to embrace the forgotten. This Advent, prepare your hearts to offer that gift to the world. In that offering, you will be made ready, ready to welcome Jesus today and when he comes back again, without fear, but with great love. Amen.